I was reading the book of Zechariah this morning, certain verses in it which I wanted to share with you. I want to tell you a little bit about the history of Israel, because the Old Testament was written to teach us spiritual lessons for us as well in this time. In the history of Israel, there were two journeys that they made. One was from Egypt to Canaan. There, from Egypt to Canaan, and then from Babylon to Jerusalem. These are the two great movements of Israel in the Old Testament, and they have an application to us. Egypt to Canaan is a picture of our personal journey from sin and defeat to a life of victory where the giants are slain. We get come to a life of overcoming, and that's personal, individual. You can be in Egypt unconverted, you can be in the wilderness, you know, saved but defeated and legalistic, or you can come into Canaan and be an overcomer. The second journey is from Babylon to Jerusalem, which is a picture of being in a dead church, which is not following all of God's word. You may be born again. You know, Revelation 18:4 says, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon, my people." So there are born again people in Babylon. It's very clear. But the Lord says, you shouldn't be there. You should come out of there. You should come out of a church that's not obeying God's word. The fundamental principle of Babylon is money. That's the God of Babylon is money. And the God of Jerusalem is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven. So he's come out of this preoccupation with money. And, you know, Babylon is not a system. In the olden days, they said the Roman Catholics were Babylon. There are a lot of Babylonians everywhere. I think there are Babylonians sitting in CFC. It's an individual thing. You can have, you don't get free from the love of money just because you come to CFC. I think there are a lot of people sitting in CFC who, for whom money is more important than passionately following Jesus Christ. So that's Babylon. And you can be in it. You can have the spirit of Babylon no matter where you sit. So the second movement is to come out of this system that is corrupt, which finally God will destroy one day, and to come out of it into Jerusalem, where, like in the tabernacle, where every small little detail was in complete obedience to God's word. If you read the construction of the tabernacle, which was the beginning of Jerusalem and the temple, and the picture of the church, the interesting thing in Exodus 25 to 40 is every little detail was exactly according to the word of God. Now, in my, you know, being a Christian over 58 years, I have to say, I've almost found no church that's interested in obeying every single thing in the Word of God. I mean, there are churches that preach many of the things, but every single thing? I hardly find any. So is it, you read Exodus 25 and 40, did Moses do most of the things in the tabernacle according to God's word? No. You read every single detail you read in the last two chapters, he did according to God's word. So Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last three prophets just before John the Baptist and the beginning of the new covenant. Another significant thing you see in the Old Testament is, which is part of the Old Covenant, all movements were entirely dependent on one man. Whether it is Noah, one man. Others helped him, of course. Abraham began with one man. Moses, one man. Aaron helped him, but Aaron was pretty useless. If Moses went away, they worshipped idols. than Joshua. One man, when Joshua died, Israel went astray. So like that, it was always one man, David. For a while he was faithful, and towards the end of his life he also backslid and his son went astray. And then the prophets, Samuel, once he died, his children were not anywhere near him. They were all lonely men. God could use only one man. And if he found one man, he was fortunate. Because in many generations in Israel, he could not even find one man. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they were all lonely, single individuals. But that was not the new covenant pattern. That is the old covenant. In the new covenant, as soon as you come to the pages of the new covenant, Jesus sends his disciples two by two. That one man ministry is gone. That is old covenant. Any man who is doing a one man ministry, even if he calls himself chief pastor or superintendent, general superintendent or pope or metropolitan or bishop, is in the old covenant. In the new covenant, there's no such thing. That's why in the new covenant, nobody has a title called pastor, father, reverend. It's all, Jesus said, you're all brothers, you're all servants. And he said, you must work two by two minimum. And then, of course, he said, where two are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Very important to understand that. So, I believe there are some lonely Christians sitting in CFC. Maybe you're a good brother. Maybe you're as good as Elijah. I don't think so. But even if you are, you're in the old covenant. Even if you're like John the Baptist. Lone. One lone man. It is old covenant. These wonderful holy men who could not build fellowship with anybody else. There have been many like that in Christendom. Great men. Wonderful preachers. Holy men. Who do you fellowship with? They are good people. Don't you think Elijah, John the Baptist were good people? Sure. There are old covenant people living in this new covenant age. Just like there are people in the world today who, even though it's an age of computers, there are many in the villages who don't even know what a computer is. But they are living in this computer age. Don't you think? Many in the villages in India have never seen a computer in their life. But they are living in the computer age. And there are many old covenant people living in this new covenant age. And we should not be one of them. It's not enough to say, I come to go to a church where we preach the new covenant. That doesn't mean you become new covenant at all. One mark of new covenant is we overcome sin. Sin shall not rule over you because you're not under law but under grace. That's the Egypt to Canaan movement. The other mark of grace, or the other mark of the new covenant, is that you can build fellowship with people. That is the Babylon to Jerusalem. Those are the two movements in the Old Testament. So remember, there should be those two movements in your life too. From defeat to victory, Egypt to Canaan. And from a lonely, holy life to a fellowship life with others. That's Jerusalem. And the thing that, if you're not interested in the second thing, you're like multitudes of Christians today who are happy that I'm a holy person. And what about your fellowship? See, fellowship doesn't mean that you come and sit here with a whole lot of people. This is not fellowship. This is a congregation listening to a message. Fellowship is an individual thing where you know, like the closest is, of course, husband and wife, physical fellowship. But something like that spiritually, not physically. Where spiritually, I seek to be one with others. Not perfect. I'm not perfect myself. I'm two imperfect people still becoming fellowship.